Tonight we begin a series of messages that come from you, the congregation. We began the year by considering questions that God asks in the Old Testament. And then we moved on to questions Jesus asked in the New Testament. And at that time, we had put out some cards where you could write out questions you would like to ask God. And we would consider those through the Scripture and try to come up with some answers. And over those several weeks, I received a number of those cards. And curiously, half of them came from the morning worship services here and at Moroa, and half of them came from the evening services. So we're going to consider these questions in both Sunday morning and Sunday evening. And we're going to take the questions that you gave on Sunday night in our evening messages. You can go back and watch the morning services and catch those ones as well. But that's how we're going to proceed. Tonight, the question asked was this: are we given lessons to learn during our lives, after which we will have learned all there is to learn? There's really two questions in there, and we're going to address both sides of that. Are there lessons for us to learn, first? Second, once we've learned them, is that all there is to learn? Both of them are good questions, and the Bible does address both of those topics. I want to begin with the admonition to learning. Addressing the first part of that question, are we given lessons to learn during our lives? The answer is a definite yes. We are definitely called to learn. We should always be learning. As the late best-selling author Tom Clancy put it, life is about learning. When you stop learning, you die. One of the most important things we must learn is what life is all about. The Lord said to the Israelites in the book of Deuteronomy, and we're going to be in Deuteronomy quite a bit tonight, Deuteronomy chapter 4 in verse 10. Remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, which was another name for Mount Sinai, when he said to me, assemble the people before me to hear my words so that they may learn to revere me as long as they live in the land and may teach them to their children. From the very beginning, God said to his people, the Israelites, I want you to learn. I want you to learn what life is all about. It's all about coming to respect me, to understand who I am, and to obey me. And then once you learn that, you need to teach your children and the generations that follow you. Learning is a very important component to life. Over in the book of Proverbs, the great book of wisdom, Solomon begins this book in chapter 1, beginning in verses 1 through 9. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, for doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning. Let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Notice that even the wise are to add to their learning. They continue to learn. So learning is a key to life. And learning to fear the Lord, which is the beginning of knowledge. Later in the same book, Solomon would write, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom is taking knowledge and applying it to your life, making it practical, something you can use. And the fear of the Lord is the key to that. Now, not talking about being petrified of God, not that kind of fear. It's taking God seriously. when he tells us to do something, we ought to do it. We didn't just sit back and say, I'll think about it. Maybe if it's, if it agrees with what I want to do, then I'll do it. Now, when God says something, we ought to do it because he's God. And he deserves that kind of respect. Jesus echoed this admonition in Matthew 11:29. Very famous passage. I'm sure you've heard this verse before, but did you ever catch the emphasis on learning? Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." We learn from the very source of wisdom and knowledge. And notice the result of that. You will find rest for your souls. In our day and age, we would say peace of mind. Couldn't we all use a little bit more of that? And how does that happen? By learning from Jesus. Learning how to live. Learning the kind of people we ought to be. The Christian life is truly all about learning. But how do we do it? Where do we find these opportunities for learning and growth? The Bible points to several avenues of learning that we can utilize. The first is God's Word itself. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 17, Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 18 and 19. Here he's talking about the future king. God knew from the beginning that at some point the Israelites are going to say, "We want a king like everybody around us." And God would say, "Okay, I'll give you a king." And he's already telling how the king should act. In verse 18, he says, "When he takes the throne of his kingdom, he is to write for himself on a scroll a copy of this law taken from the that of the priests who are Levites. It is to be with him, and he is to read it all the days of his life." Why? "So that he might learn to revere the Lord his God and follow carefully all the words of this law and the decrees that are in there." The king, the one with all the power and authority, was to continue to learn. To learn how to revere the Lord, fear of the Lord. To put into practice the precepts God had handed down. Even at king, even at the top of the ladder, so to speak, the most powerful man in the nation still had lessons to learn. And he would find them through his word. In the very next book of the Old Testament, the book of Joshua, as Joshua is about to lead the Israelites into the promised land, Moses has died. The mantle of leadership has fallen onto Joshua. And in chapter 1, verse 7, the Lord says to Joshua, "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey the law. To obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." You know, there are an awful lot of books out there on how to be a success, right? Tons of books on leadership and how to be a success in life. God tells us in two verses. Make sure that my word is a regular part of your life. Learn from it. Continue to learn from it, and not just learn from it, but use it. Use it in your daily life. That's how you'll be successful. If you go through the rest of the Old Testament, through Samuel and Kings and Chronicles, you'll see the stories of a lot of kings. And some of those kings were successful. Many of those kings were failures. What was the difference? Those who revered the Lord, those who honored his word, they were successful. But those who ignored his word and disobeyed God, they were a failure. Now, they may have seemed successful in the eyes of the world, but God considered them total failure because they did not learn from his word. Now you go to the New Testament. Paul instructs his protege Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. What was the emphasis here? On the Scriptures. All Scripture. And do you know what all Scripture was when Paul wrote this? What we call the Old Testament. And I know a lot of Christians today are like, oh, do I really have to read the Old Testament? Ah, it's so dry and boring. Blah. I thought we were a New Testament church. Hey, all of this is God's Word. Every bit of it is profitable for us. Yes, we need to understand it in its context. We need to understand how the New Covenant applies to the Old Covenant, but it's all important, and it is all beneficial for our learning. So the Bible is the first and foremost avenue of learning, but it is not the only source. Another avenue of learning is by observation, even observing nature. Solomon wrote in Proverbs 24:32, I applied my heart to what I observed and learned a lesson from what I saw. That's pretty simple. Keep your eyes open. Look around. As you see things, learn about them. Inquire about them. Find out about them. You know, I mentioned earlier about you drive along the road and you see the pretty purple weeds that are out in the fields, you know. Now you could say, oh, hey, that's pretty. But if you dig into it a little bit more and you find out that those are actually weeds and, you know, the farmers are probably going to do something to get rid of them, there's a lesson to be learned there. Even in very simple things. It doesn't have to be profound, and you don't have to be highly educated. I think some of the most wise people in the history of humanity have been ones that didn't have a lot of formal education. But they could look and see. They could observe. And they could learn from those observations. Be aware of what's going on around you. And this needs to be intentional. We cannot merely walk through life without thinking and have knowledge seep into our brains. It doesn't work that way. Be aware. Ask questions. Do a little digging. Find out. And learn. Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 8 gives us a specific example of this. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. Something as simple as an ant we can learn from. Now, I know I don't like ants. I see an ant and I want to kill it. But the Bible says even an ant can teach us a lesson if we are aware and observing. Jesus used two illustrations from nature in Matthew chapter 6, what we often call the Sermon on the Mount. And I'm sure you have heard these before, but they're very simple illustrations that Jesus pulled from everyday experience. Matthew 6, verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or stow into barns, but yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. Something as simple as the birds of the air, you know, the flowers in the field. And Jesus says, learn from them. Observe. Think about it. You don't have to know chapter and verse, but just by thinking, observing, learning. In chapter 16 of Matthew, I was so shocked when I saw this the first time. I didn't know it was in the Bible. Matthew 16, verses 2 and 3. The Pharisees and Sadducees had said, give us a sign. Give us a sign. They were always saying that. Give us a sign. Jesus is like, how many do you need? I mean, I've given you all kinds of them. But he says, when evening comes, you say it'll be fair weather for the sky is red, and in the morning, today it'll be stormy for the sky is red and overcast. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. I remember growing up here in the little ditty, you know, red sky at night, sailor's delight. Red sky at morning, sailor, take warning. I didn't know that was scriptural. It goes all the way back to the New Testament. Jesus said it. And what's he saying? You don't have to be a meteorologist to tell what's going to happen. Just look at the sky, right? Observe, learn, open your eyes. In Matthew 24:32, he says, now learn a lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. We can learn a lot in life by observation. And that can be every much as inspired as the scriptures, because God created it. God made it the way that it is. And when we are observing, we can see a lot about God. Paul even said, for those who have never heard the scriptures, no one ever tells them about Jesus. Just by creation, they can know about God's divine attributes by observing, by looking around and thinking about what God has made. Part of that observation can be the experience of others. We can learn through others' experience. I like how the New Living Translation renders Proverbs 19:25. It says, if you punish a mocker, the simple-minded will learn a lesson. If you correct the wise, they will all be wiser. Now, of course, someone that is corrected ought to learn a lesson. But those who are observing them can learn the lesson without the painful experience, right? That was what was so great about being the youngest child in the family. I could watch my brothers get in trouble and say, okay, I'm not going to do that, right? And we can do that. We should. When we see people, whether it's in Scripture or all around us, we see people get into trouble, we should say, okay, that's how not to do it. I don't want to go down that road. We could avoid so much of our own heartache if we would just learn lessons from other people's lives. Paul similarly wrote in 1 Corinthians 10. In verse 6, he says, now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. He's talking about the Israelites in the Old Testament. He's saying, read those stories and learn a lesson from them. Don't do what they did, right? That same chapter down verse 11, these things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. We can learn through the mistakes of others so that we don't have to make them ourselves. We don't have to go through all of that pain that they did. We can learn from them. I think our greatest avenue of learning, though, outside of God's Word, is personal experience. God created His universe that operates under cause and effect. And when we make choices, which He gave us the freedom to do, there's always consequences. And we are free to choose, but we're not free to choose our consequences. That's where God's sovereignty comes in. And we need to learn lessons from our lives, right? I know when I was growing up, it could be my parents, could be teachers at school or whoever. It's like, I want to teach you a lesson, right? Now, if you're smart, you only had to do that once. If you kept doing the same thing over and over again, yeah, you know, kind of question your intelligence, right? Learn from your mistakes. Learn from your experiences, good and bad. You'll learn how to do things and the right things to do. And wow, I never thought of it that way, but that turned out really well. I'm going to continue to do that. Or, I don't want to do that again. Learn. But how many of us just fail to do that? Remember hearing in high school, he that rejects history is bound to repeat it? That's people that don't learn their lessons. If we don't learn lessons from history or our own history, we're just going to go back and do the same dumb thing over and over again. That's not wise. We should learn from our mistakes. In 2 Chronicles 12, verses 7 and 8, it's one of those many times in the Old Testament the Israelites had turned away from the Lord. God had the right to destroy them because that was part of the covenant. But when the people repented, God spared them. They didn't get off scot-free, however. You know, I always, where did that phrase come from, scot-free? I take offense to that. He said, since they have humbled themselves, I will not destroy them, but will soon give them deliverance. My wrath will not be poured out on Jerusalem through Shishak. This was the oppressor at that time. They will, however, become subject to him so that they may learn the difference between serving me and serving them, serving the kings of other lands. So even though their sins were forgiven, and God says, I'm not going to destroy you, I am going to teach you a lesson. You are going to go through a painful time so that you may learn. You'll learn the difference between obeying me and going on your own way. You'll learn the difference between serving me and serving other masters who are not nearly as gracious and kind and loving. Sometimes we have to learn the hard way. Psalm 119:71 admits, it was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees. We all go through tough times. A lot of times it's our own fault, right? We just say, okay, that's on me. Sometimes not. Sometimes other people make choices and they impact us negatively. But we can still learn from them. We can still say, okay, I don't want to do that to somebody else. I don't want to have to go through that myself. So even the afflictions we have in life, we can still learn from them and they become a benefit, not just a wasted experience of pain and suffering. Now, sometimes these lessons don't only come from our mistakes. Sometimes it's just through our personal experiences. Paul shared in the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 4, how he learned to be content. Philippians 4, beginning in verse 10, he says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. How did he know that? Because he had experienced it. He had gone through times where he didn't know where his next meal was coming from. He had gone through other times when there was plenty and he had no concerns at all. And he learned through both of those situations how to be content with whatever you have at the time. Because you know that it's not always going to be great and it's not always going to be bad. So be content. But he had to learn that. Twice in that passage, he said he had to learn the secret. It doesn't come naturally. We're not born content. Ask any baby. They're not content. We're not. We have to learn a lesson like that. When we arrive in heaven, we will know all that we need to know. But until then, we've got a lot of lessons to learn. And I want to conclude with the application of learning, because intellectual learning is not enough. Adam Clark commented, "Learning in one proper sense of the word is the means of acquiring knowledge. But multitudes who have the means seem utterly unacquainted with their use, and they live and die in learned ignorance." You ever known somebody like that? They're book smart, but not very street smart. Yeah? Well, there are a lot of Christians that are that way. They're book smart, but they're not really wise in life. They don't apply what they learn from the Bible to their everyday living. Learning for learning's sake is not only unfruitful, it can be detrimental. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 8:1, knowledge puffs up. We'd say knowledge gives you a big head, but love builds up. Learning for learning's sake can lead us to pride. And you go through the Bible and it always insists on application of learning. It's not enough to learn information. It's not enough to learn the facts. We got to put them to use. In Deuteronomy 5:1, Moses summoned all of Israel and said, "Hear, O Israel, the decrees and laws I declare in your hearing today. Learn them and be sure to follow them." He didn't stop with learning them. He didn't say memorize them. He said, learn them and use them. Put them into use. Later in Deuteronomy 31:12, he said, "Assemble the people, men, women, and children, the aliens living in your town, so they can listen and learn to fear the Lord your God and follow carefully all the words of the law." Learn it and do it. You know, we sing the hymn, "Trust and Obey." We need to learn and obey. It's not enough just to have it in our minds. It's got to come out in our lives. Jeremiah recorded in Jeremiah 35:13, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says, "Go and tell the men of Judah and the people of Jerusalem, will you not learn a lesson and obey my words?" Any of you that have had children, I'm sure you've asked that question. Won't you learn your lesson? Why do you keep doing the same thing over and over again? And God says the same thing to us, because we tend to do the same thing over and over again. We learn when we obey. Our belief must direct our behavior, or our belief is worthless. Jesus echoed this in Matthew 7. The end of his Sermon on the Mount, he gives a classic illustration that I learned in Sunday school as a song. "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." Notice both of them heard his words. They both were listening. They both were aware of what God was saying, but only one put it into practice. Paul emphasized this in Philippians 4:9. "Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me, put it into practice." It's the only way we're going to really learn is when we live it. The original question was, are we given lessons to learn during our lives, after which we will have learned all that there is to learn? And I would say to the end of that question, as long as we're alive, we're still learning. There's always something to learn. Every time you go through the scripture, you may read through the scripture every year, and every time you see something you didn't see before. You learn something new. We're always learning. Paul wrote in Philippians 3:12, not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it. I'm not there yet. I haven't reached the pinnacle. And this is Paul. This is Paul the Apostle. Some consider the greatest Christian in the history of the church. And he's saying, I'm not there yet. He says, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal for to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. That's when we won't have to learn anymore. When we all get to heaven, our knowledge will be complete. But until then, there's always lessons to learn. And they come in a variety of ways. But the most important thing is, whatever you learn, live. Put it into practice. Because that's what really counts when it comes to the Christian life. Would you bow your heads as we conclude our time together? Heavenly Father, we all have a lot to learn. Whether we have been member of your family for years and years or relatively new converts, we all have a lot to learn. And I pray that we would learn through your word, through observation, through the experience and instruction of others, through our own personal experiences. May we learn. May we not mindlessly make the same mistakes over and over again because we haven't learned a lesson. And I pray that we might see the development of your spirit within us as we grow in our faith, as we put your word into practice. Always be teaching us, always be guiding us, until that day when we stand in your presence, complete and whole. We thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.